Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Just listen to these words. These are amazing words. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Or these words, listen to them. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Those are some profound words. They are the words of a very common Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to be talking about that hymn this evening on Issues Etc. Our guest, Dr. Arthur Just, and you can join us as well. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have an in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And for those of you listening, and if you'd like to follow along, sing along as we study the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, all you have to do is go to our website right now, issuesetc.org, and click on the What's New section. You'll find the words as we will be studying them this evening for this hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Our website, issuesetc.org. Just click on the What's New section. Our guest, Dr. Arthur Just, is a regular guest here on Issues Etc. He's professor of New Testament and dean of the chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a two-volume Concordia commentary on Luke and the Luke Commentary for the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series. Dr. Just, welcome back.
It's a delight to be with you again, Todd, and especially in this wonderful season of the birth of the Christ child in which we celebrate the incarnation of our Lord.
There is so much to say about this hymn, but first, just your initial thoughts on this Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Well, this hymn is like the Christmas story in that it is so familiar to us that we sometimes forget how wonderful it is. And I know that of all the Christmas hymns, the poetry of this hymn perhaps is as profound and as moving as any hymn that you will sing at Christmas. And, of course, the Mendelssohn tune wedded to this hymn, which has only been fairly recently, as I understand, certainly brings it to a level that rivals any Christmas hymn we have. The wonderful thing about this hymn is that it partakes of so much of Scripture. We're going to see as we walk through this hymn that it encompasses not just Luke 2, which is, of course, its main source, but it encompasses Matthew 1, goes back to Malachi, it has John 2 in it, it even has Haggai. I mean, it is just an all-embracive hymn. And it speaks most clearly about one of the great themes of Christmas, and that is that Jesus now comes as the second Adam, the one who comes to show us what our true humanity looks like by being perfect and without sin, and comes into this world to restore and renew all of humankind. This is a bright hymn, and I mean by bright, I mean it just sparkles with the great theme of the new creation. It shows us so clearly how the incarnation is a cosmic event that affects the whole creation. And it shows us so beautifully that Jesus was born to die. And in that death, he brings all of creation with him into a new world that is essentially new because of his invasion, his bodily presence, both as one who walked among us and continues to be among us in his word and sacraments.
This hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, has a famous author. Tell us about the author of this hymn.
Well, Charles Wesley is I don't know. I mean, you could perhaps put other people up against him, but certainly in the English-speaking language, he is considered one of the great hymn writers. He wrote over 6,000 hymns. I mean, just think about that. He wrote a hymn for just about every occasion that he could find. And, of course, not all of them are great, but more of them are great than you would expect from any hymn writer in the English-speaking language. He is, of course, the brother of John Wesley, who is one of the founders of Methodism. He himself died within the Church of England, an itinerant preacher, a man who was deeply influenced by Pietism. Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians were very, very profoundly influential in his life. But he was a very faithful man, a faithful preacher. He spent a great deal of his time engaged in spiritual care of the prisoners in Newgate, which was quite a troubled group of men. And he found that no matter where he was or what happened, whether it was a birth or an ordination or whatever, he would find the best way to express himself was through hymnody. And he was a poetical genius. I mean, there's really no one like him. And when you just see how he is able to bring images alive, and we're going to see him in this hymn, it is an absolute stunning achievement. One of the things that you will see with Charles Wesley's hymns is that he is able to capture in a phrase the meaning of a biblical text, which is really quite remarkable, and then to string them together to provide a narrative. And that's what Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's a narrative of the theological significance of the Incarnation. And that's what a good hymn does. A good hymn interprets the Scriptures. A good hymn is something that makes us look at the sacred text in a way that we've never looked at it before. And that is exactly Charles Wesley's gift. He really is a remarkable man. Had a very happy marriage. He was the youngest son of 18 children. So he was from a big family. A most remarkable man.
The first stanza of this hymn we're studying this evening with Dr. Arthur Jest. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Stanza one of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Dr. Jest, you mentioned before the theological significance, the why of the Incarnation. In this first stanza, walk us through the scriptural roots for what Wesley has put into beautiful poetry here.
Well, this stanza is all Luke. It's Luke chapter 2 and the visit of the angels to the shepherds, in which they sing the great hymn of Christmas, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that is what this stanza is centered in. And what it does, this is also the way, if you have the older versions, this is the way the hymn ended too. So, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's how it begins and it ends. So that shows you that's the most important part. And it is the great moment of in world history when we are invited here to join the angels in singing to the glory of the Incarnation. And that is what it elicits us to do. Joyful all ye nations rise. Of course, there you've got the totally inclusive character of the Incarnation, Jews and Gentiles, all the nations, to join the triumph in the skies. And that's what Christmas is. Christmas is where we join heaven and the angels in singing praise to God that he has sent his son into our world to bring peace on earth. I love the way, though, and here's the interpretation by Wesley. It's peace on earth and mercy mild. Luke does a most remarkable thing in his gospel. I think we've talked about this on your show before, but he has two hymns to Jesus, one at his birth and one on Palm Sunday. And only he has this, and on both of them have glory to God in the highest. At his birth, though, it's peace on earth. At his death, as he's going to the cross on Palm Sunday, it's peace in heaven. And heaven and earth are joined together in peace with the birth and death of the Christ child. And that is what the mercy mild is all about, that what the essence of the incarnation is, why he comes, is to show mercy to his creation. He shows that in his miracles, his healings, raising the dead, but the ultimate expression of mercy is on the cross.
Let's talk about that when we come back from this break, because that is the line that jumps out to me, and I'm sure to many of our listeners as well. God and sinners reconciled. The peace that is now made in the flesh of Jesus at the cross as he dies for sinners. God dying for sinners at the cross. We'll be right back with Dr. Arthur Just.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
As we approach the end of 2004, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. This worldwide outreach is listener-supported, and we're not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour or the Lutheran Layman's League. You can donate by credit card. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. By check, write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate online at our website, issuesetc.org, and click on the What's New section. Now, anyone who contributes $50 or more to Issues, Etc. during December will receive a CD of the latest recording of the Concordia Seminary Chorus, 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or issuesetc.org. This is Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your support this year. Boy, I tell you what, studying a hymn like this, a familiar hymn, everyone has heard this hymn, but studying this familiar hymn and going back through the scriptural roots of it demonstrates what Issues, Etc. is really all about all year round. We are Christ-centered. We are cross-focused. We can't even talk about a Christmas hymn without getting to the cross. And that's why this Christmas hymn is so good, because Christmas is not good news just because a baby is born, and it's not good news just because that baby is also the second person of the Trinity, God in human flesh. That baby is headed to the cross. That baby is determined to go to the cross. And that baby went to the cross for us and to reconcile us to God. That's the good news. That's why Issues, Etc. remains Christ-centered and cross-focused. Please help support the Christ-centered, cross-focused, worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by joining our Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly donor program. Now, we have three different levels. The Confessor, $25 a month or a year-end gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 a month or a year-end gift of $500. And the Reformer, $100 a month or a year-end gift of $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Now, each member of the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club gets monthly premiums like tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club by check. Write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can join by credit card. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or you can also now donate and join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club online. Our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. We especially need to hear from listeners in Omaha, in Washington, D.C., in Minneapolis, Milwaukee, and San Francisco. We're also looking for someone to make a year-end $39,000 gift to Issues Etc. This money would be earmarked for broadcasting 1 hour of the weekday edition of Issues Etc. live on XM Satellite Radio. That's 5 days a week, afternoon drive on XM Satellite Radio, coast to coast nationwide, for a one-time year-end gift of $39,000. And thank you, as usual, for your prayerful consideration and your support of Issues Etc. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. That phrase, God and sinners reconciled, takes us from the narrative of Luke to Paul, who loves to talk about the reconciliation of God and man. Tell us about it.
That's exactly right. And I mean, this is the place where the cross comes very clearly in, that that once Christ has come and has entered our world, where God has become flesh, the reconciliation is in place. And I again, going back to Luke, how he does peace on earth, peace in heaven. It's on earth because God now dwells on earth, and at the death of Jesus, what he does is he reconciles us back to God, the God of heaven. And the mercy mild is how he does it. I mean, it's not a God of vengeance. It's not a God who is taking out his wrath on the enemies of God. It's on a God who comes in love, in compassion, in mercy, who does simple things like healing the sick and raising the dead. Not spectacular things, but things that are bringing wholeness, bringing things back to the way God wanted them to be. All of that, of course, is ultimately accomplished on the cross. That's where reconciliation takes place. That's where God is no longer angry at us, because his anger was spent on Jesus. Jesus spends out his life because the Father, instead of getting us, got him in our place. And that's where the reconciliation takes place. That's why there is peace. And, of course, that's the great greeting of Christmas, peace. Peace is the great theme of our liturgy. Peace is the greeting of Jesus after the resurrection. Peace is one of the great words. There is no longer war with God. The anger of God has been satiated in the death of Jesus.
Here is stanza 2 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Christ.
Stanza 2 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Dr. Jess, where do you begin with this stanza?
Well, you know, one thing, to just go back to stanza 1, you always want to watch the titles. And in stanza 1, he's described as the newborn king, and then it ends, Christ is born in Bethlehem. There are the two titles, King and Christ. Well, this stanza starts now with Christ. Christ, the highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. And this is the theme. And the theme is that the Messiah has come. This is the hymn of the Incarnation. In the second verse, late in time, behold him come. That is probably a reference to Galatians 4. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. There is that sense that at the right time, and here Wesley captures it late in time, you know, that's when the child is born. And, of course, the Galatians 4 is always thought of as a reference to the virgin birth. But, of course, the virgin birth is Matthew 1 and Luke 2, offspring of a virgin's womb. Offspring, of course, is a Pauline word right out of Galatians 4, 3 and 4 as well. But then you have this absolutely sublime line. It's one of the ones you quoted at the beginning that, you just stand there stunned. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. I mean, what a magnificent way of speaking of the incarnation. How in the flesh, in our flesh, we can see God. I mean, that is the absolute mystery, the stunning mystery of the incarnation. That in that little child, a newborn, we see God. And it's there that the angels and we hail the incarnate deity, the God made flesh. Now, all that is good kind of synonymous parallelism. He's saying the same thing, you know, in two different ways. But then this line that you have to ponder, pleased as man, God is pleased to take our flesh and become one of us. That's what it means. Pleased to be one of us, pleased as man, with the original is man to dwell, but men to dwell, with us to dwell. Christ comes to us because he honors our flesh. He shows that what God created here is good. And to become incarnate is to elevate what we are and to show us what we were intended to be. Because as I began, we were not created to be sinful, to die, to suffer. We were created perfect. And so what Jesus does is he shows us what we were first created to be, what he wants us to be. And the beauty of this, and Wesley's going to get to it, is he makes us this in baptism. You know, we are not fully human because we will die. We will sin. We will get sick. But the greatness of the incarnation is he shows us that he has come to restore us back.
We'll be right back after this, folks. Stay with us. Now is the time to register for the 2005 Symposia Series at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The 20th Annual Symposium on Exegetical Theology and the 28th Annual Symposium on the Lutheran Confessions will take place January 18th through the 21st on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The long tradition of bringing well-known theologians from around the world continues with this year's speakers. For a complete list of those speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online for the 2005 Symposia Series at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, January the 18th through the 21st, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click on What's New. Issues Etc. will be there. We hope to see you there. issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin again. I'm joined by the author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, A Tree for Christmas, Dandy Daly Mackle. Dandy, tell us about this theme of wood that runs through your book, A Tree for Christmas.
My book starts with the manger. And then I just, you know, once you start looking at wood, and I did it because I wanted a Christmas tree to mean more. And so I wanted to track wood in the life of Christ. And there it is in the manger, in the stable. And then you progress on to, in the carpenter shop, they had to use wood to build things. And from there you can go on to Zacchaeus up in the tree, and there was wood in the boat, and, you know, there were woods when we had the picnic for the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus talked about the parable of the fig tree. It was just everywhere. The vine and the branches, the palm branches had to come from somewhere, too. And then, of course, the cross.
So then, how would a family benefit from reading A Tree for Christmas this Christmas season?
I think this is one of those books, and it's what Concordia likes me to do when I do their premier Christmas book. It's a family book. It really is. That a child can hear the text and like the rhyme and the rhythm of it and see the story and like to see the family get a tree just like the kids got a tree. And yet, I think that the parents will see maybe a deeper meaning in the things that they do at Christmas, too. And my prayer would be that families would read this and claim Christmas, if that concept's coming across clearly, that we not just do things that we do every year, not just get the tree and put it up, and, you know, it's great at that level, but if we can see a gift under the tree and talk about Christ's gift and use the things that kids can see to point them to the things that they can't, like the evergreen, what does that mean, and how can that be like eternity, that something lives on? And the more we can make those connections, the more real God and Christ will remain in your family. For kids, I think they start out with God is just, he's as natural as Saturdays and ice cream. You know, he's a part of their life, and he's not compartmentalized. And I think grown-ups need to work on having that kind of attitude.
To order our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, A Tree for Christmas, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or go online to our website, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, A Tree for Christmas.
A Christmas tree, a wooden manger, a wooden cross, an arboreal theme that followed Jesus throughout his time on earth. And this theme is the focus of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. It's a book titled A Tree for Christmas. It's written by popular Christian author Dandy Daly Mackle. Visit our website, issuesetc.org, for more information, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Tree for Christmas costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. Gather your children and your grandchildren around the Christmas tree this year and read them A Tree for Christmas. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. What's the relationship between a Christmas tree and the Tree of Life? Find out with A Tree for Christmas, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. 1-800-325-3040.
Christmas Day is just 6 days away, but you still have time to order our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December for your young child, for your grandchild. It's called A Tree for Christmas. You can find out more about this children's book on our website, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section. You'll find more information on A Tree for Christmas, or you can call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. A Tree for Christmas costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. If you'd like this children's book as a Christmas gift, because the time is short, you need to request express shipping when you call 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A Tree for Christmas is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, 1-800-325-3040. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, here on Issues Etc. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament and dean of the chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has authored a two-volume commentary in the Concordia Commentary series on Luke and the Concordia Commentary for the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series as well. Before the break, Dr. Just, you were talking about how Christ takes on human flesh to restore us back to what God had intended for a true humanity to be without sin. And you mentioned baptism. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, in baptism, what happens to us is that we are joined to Christ's flesh, and he dwells in us, and we dwell in him. That's the end of the third line of Wesley's hymn, born to give them second birth, the second birth of holy baptism. And that's where we now are incorporated into him. So we are perfect in him. We are without sin in him. We are eternal beings in him. We will never die again because we are joined to him. And that is what this verse we just looked at, second verse, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Now look at there, we come with a two more titles. We start with Christ and we end with Jesus and Emmanuel, God with us, as we know. That's Matthew 1. And I think when he's talking about veiled in flesh the Godhead see, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, that's John 2. I mean, this verse is loaded with allusions. Galatians 4, John 2, certainly Luke 2 is there, and Matthew 1.
Colossians, the fullness of
Colossians,
the deity.
Colossians, the fullness, yes, exactly. I mean, it is just a sublime verse. And in many ways, kind of the central verse of this. It is the verse of the incarnation. And here, he really is interpreting. But notice how he spins out of the other verse. See, this is the beauty of Wesley. It's not that he just has poetic moments, but each verse is tied to the next one. So you go from, you know, Christ is born in Bethlehem to Christ by highest to heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. I mean, this is just kind of extraordinary movement from verse to verse even. So you have a verse that just kind of explodes off the page as to why the incarnation is there and what it is. It describes it too. I mean, it's not just simply telling us why he comes, but it described as veiled in flesh the Godhead see, pleased as man with men to dwell. It just rolls off, and it's beautiful poetry.
Now, you mentioned before baptism, and I'm wondering about this phrase, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as men with men to dwell. Can this be said, if we rightly understand Christ's words regarding the Lord's Supper, that he is with us there in bread and wine, in his body and blood? Can we speak these words, when we sing these words, are we singing not only about the baby in the manger, but also about what Christ delivers to us in the Lord's Supper?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, again, if you just see how that language is used in Matthew, the thing that I always understand is once Christ comes, he never leaves. He's always there in his flesh. So our salvation can never be separated from the flesh of Jesus Christ. In Matthew's gospel, at the beginning, he says, Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, there is God in the midst of them. There is Emmanuel, God with us. And then at the end, in the final words, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That indicates that Christ is always there. And of course, we are joined to him personally in the waters of holy baptism. And then that continues as a community where he continues to dwell among us in word and sacrament, in our liturgical life. And the sacrament is, of course, where we commune with that very body and blood. And there we see veiled in the bread and wine his Godhead. There is where we see veiled in those things the very body and blood of Christ. And so, yeah, this is all about the fact that once he comes, once the Creator invades our cosmos, he's never going to leave it again. His flesh is always here. And we forget that flesh is in us, and we are in it, because he is joining us to him when he takes us in baptism.
With only a minute or so here, your final thoughts on stanza two, as you said, this kind of central stanza of this hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, before we go on to stanza three.
Well, as you read it, just look at the humanity of it and the deity of it. I mean, it just sparkles. The idea that he is offspring of a virgin's womb who comes late in time. You know, you get that sense that everybody's been waiting, everybody in the Old Testament has been waiting. And then it burst forth, and there, boom, you know, we see the Godhead veiled, we see the Godhead. We hail the incarnate deity. He is pleased to dwell among us as a man, with us, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. One of the great titles, that was the text in church this Sunday, Emmanuel, God with us.
And folks, I want you to bear in mind before we go on to stanza three, that name given to Jesus in the Old Testament, attributed again to him by Matthew in the first chapter, God with us, is put in the context of the name that he bears, the name given by his parents, Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. That God is with us to do something, to save us from our sins, and that is exactly what Jesus does. And we hear more of it here in stanza 3 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Stanza 3 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. With only about a minute and a half here before we go to our break, Dr. Jest, your initial thoughts on this third stanza?
Well, the first two are wonderful, but this tops it. This is where Wesley pulls out all the stops, and you can hear the music there, the descant. This is where the descant is. You can hear that pause at the end where we all kind of, you know, for that final. This is an extraordinarily poetical hymn. Notice that he doesn't use hark, but hail. And listen to the titles again. Prince of Peace, Hail, Son of Righteousness, Light and Life. Those are all titles. And then the Malachi language, Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. We'll talk about that later, but that's wonderful. And then he ends with those three, born. I mean, this is an unbelievable stanza. And I think if the second stanza was the interpretation of the Incarnation, this is now the one that shows us the effects of the Incarnation. And, of course, at the very end, when he's talking about born, we're going to see that he's talking there about the resurrection.
Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss vocation, God's will for your daily life. Pastor Mark Sell of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest as you approach the end of yet another year. Perhaps you've asked yourself the question, what have I done for God this year? What have I done for Jesus this year? Is that an appropriate question? What does it really mean to live a purpose-driven life? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Pastor Mark Sell. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing on Issues Etc. for the weeks ahead, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and there you'll find a list of topics and guests for the weeks ahead. issuesetc.org. By the way, we will hear the entire hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, on the other side of this break as our conversation with Dr. Arthur Jest winds down. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest, professor of New Testament and dean of the chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the Luke Commentary for the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Hark the Herald Angels Sing, go into a little more detail on the third stanza. There is only so much time in 1 hour of radio, and it is not enough time to even hit the high points of a beautiful hymn on the Incarnation, like the one we're studying this evening. The Incarnation, God taking on human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, so that he might do the work of Savior at the cross. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Arthur Jest on how the Bible is taught at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, the central principle for us in interpreting scriptures is the Christological principle. That is, that we believe, as Jesus says in Luke 24, that all the scriptures speak about him. And that we study the scriptures and teach the scriptures with a focus on Christ. Now, this isn't only Christ who lived and died and rose again a long time ago, but also the fact that through the scriptures, through the living word of God that we hear in our churches, we hear preached, is the means by which Christ continues to be present with us today. And I think what is unique about exegetical theology at our seminary is that we focus not only on what the scriptures say, but how they continue to be the lifeblood of the church, because they are the means by which Christ is present to the church with his gifts. As Luther says, the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation.
Dr. Just, you're on the faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we are only about a month away, or I'm a little bit less than a month away from the 2005 Symposia series there at Concordia Theological Seminary. How would a layperson benefit from attending this series?
Well, there's a number of ways. Certainly, I would say as dean of the chapel, one of the great ways they can benefit is just coming onto our campus and worshiping in our beautiful chapel. There's nothing like being in the presence of 400 or 500 male voices, and of course a number of female voices sprinkled in, but certainly those male voices and that chapel with the organ and the trumpets and the liturgy, it's sublime. And I mean, that is just, most people come to be refreshed and renewed by that experience. But there's a tremendous amount of learning to be done. The papers are certainly ones that I think your average layperson would enjoy and appreciate. There's great discussion. There's great camaraderie. We get almost 600 people on our campus who are interested in theology, who are interested in talking about it, who are vibrantly living it out in their parishes. And you can't help but get caught up in the excitement and the great desire of all these people to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful opportunity to really kind of get your batteries recharged, to visit with the brethren, to have an opportunity to worship, hear some great papers, and frankly, just come and have some fun, because we love to enjoy ourselves here. It's a great week in which we are not just fed, but we can rejoice in each other's company.
Folks, for more information on the 2005 Symposia Series at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, January the 18th through the 21st, there on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look under the What's New section. And by the way, we will be broadcasting live 2 days at the 2005 Symposia Series, January the 18th through the 21st. At Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Issues Etc., live there 2 days at the Symposia Series as well. We walked through the third stanza there very briefly before the break. I would like you to revisit 2 points. One, this phrase, risen with healing in his wings, and the other, this repetition of born, 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 and we only have about 2 minutes here before we have to hear the entire hymn.
Well, the first phrase is attached to the Hail the Son of Righteousness, and it comes from Malachi 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Now, this is another statement of the Incarnation, and this is a great theme of Christmas, that the light kind of comes to an end at the winter solstice, and the true sun that rises. The real sun is and in Malachi it is S-U-N, the sun, but it's the Son of God, the light of the world, and that's where that wonderful theme of light comes in. This sun now dawns, and you know what light does. Light brings life, and what the Son of Righteousness does is he rises to bring healing to his creation in its wings, which means that he comes down in order to bring us all with him into this healing. This is the great theme of the new creation, and it is a remarkable statement of the reconciliation that comes with the righteousness that Christ brings.
And then with only 30 seconds, that theme of born.
Yes. Yeah. Mild, he leaves his glory by. I mean, in other words, he breaks in. This is that divine invasion. And here's why he's born. He's born so that we might not die anymore. That's the whole thing I was talking about before. Our humanity is now restored in him. So he's born so that we no longer have to face death. He's born to raise the sons of earth, to raise us up in him into heaven, so that we're joined to the heavenly one, we'll never die again. And that happens in our second birth, born to give us that second birth. It starts with his incarnation, but then it continues with his incarnation in us in baptism. Now there you've got the language of Galatians 4, that when the fullness of time came, the Father sent his Son into the world, but then he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So there you've got the baptismal theme. And this, there's nothing greater than this verse. This verse is absolutely sublime. And if you hear the hail, hail, born, 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 it just sings. And the Malachi, hail the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings, that's the great theme of Christmas, that we have healing now, the whole creation, because God has come into the flesh to take us home.
Here is the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Okay, Dr. Jess, with less than a minute, why are the angels singing?
Well, the Holy Trinity had a plan to save all of humanity, and that plan was to send Jesus into this world. When that happens, when that child is born in Bethlehem, all of heaven now rejoices because the plan is in place. One of the things we do, Todd, is we sing in the presence of God. When the bridegroom is present, it's always as if we were at a wedding. And so that's why we sing. The angels are singing because the Creator has come to His creation to bring in the new creation. That's the reason for the song, and that's why we join them. This Christmas, I wish all your listeners an opportunity to sing with the angels, to sing those beautiful Christmas carols, to join our voices to the heavenly voices as we are all joined together, heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem.
Dr. Arthur Just, thank you for being our guest.
It was my pleasure, Todd, and Merry Christmas.
Folks, here's our mailing address and our phone number to make a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. The address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The phone number, 1-800-737-0172. For any gift of $50 or more to Issues, etc., between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a new recording of the Concordia Seminary Chorus called Gentle Stranger. It has Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany hymns. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. That is why the angels are singing. They are singing because a Savior is born, because the only one who can save man has come to be man. Not because He wanted to know what it was like, not because He wanted a relationship with us, but because He wanted to save us. He wants to be the sacrifice and the substitute for sinners at the cross. And at this, the saving purpose and plan and work of God, all of heaven rejoices, and all of earth at the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117.